The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Mishpatim has many mitzvahs in it, and of various types, but it serves as the great source for the mitzvahs, which are known as dinim omanis, monetary laws, bein odom l'chaveri, between man and his fellow man. Generally in the world, it's understood that if you want to identify what would be called a fruma yid, an observant Jew, there are different means of identification. Some of the most popular is a Shomer Shabbos, someone who keeps Shabbos. One man once told me that, show me a Jew how he keeps his Shabbos, and I'll tell you what kind of Jew he is. The emes is, the truth is, that a Jew has to keep all mitzvahs. It's very difficult to say which mitzvahs he has to keep and which mitzvahs he does not have to keep. Because any mitzvahs that he does not keep, his chosar is going to be lacking when it comes to a totality, when it comes to a shlemus, because the Torah is a Torah shlema. But if we want to speak of a barometer, or a simon, a sign, in the areas where Torah was learned, an area of Talmidei Chachomim, Tshu B'nei Terah, there the barometer wasn't Shabbos, and it wasn't Kashrus. The barometer was a person, a Jew, could be recognized for what type of Jew he was and how he dealt in dinim omanis, in monetary matters, with other people. This was the underlying barometer. If he gave little importance to that, then it was a sure barometer that his other mitzvahs, no matter what they might be, were also not kept so well. If he gave great importance to that, then we're speaking about someone of a different stature. And these are the type of mitzvahs that we have here in Parshas Mishpatim. This evening I'd like to speak a little about this. And first Derech Klal, and then Derech Prat. Give a few general principles that the Chazal, the sages, say about this, and then a few particular principles. We'll have to be mekatzer, we'll have to be very concise, because the laws are so many and so broad and so deep that it's a lifetime of learning. Therefore we will mention just some of the principles which we could classify as perhaps chidushim, not those that everybody knows about, but more what many times we do not know about or forget about them. Some of these things on this subject we've spoken many times. Some of these things have been mentioned before, but we'll also mention this evening some things that we have not mentioned before. Now firstly, to the klolim, to the general principles that the Chazal, the sages, tell us in regarding to these laws. We'll start as a Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra. The Yeshiva presently is learning Bava Basra in Perek Hasfino. Well, the Gemara tells us, Omar Rab Levi, it's on Peches Amad Beis, Omar Rab Levi, Kosha Einshon Shel Mideis, Yese Mi Einshon Shel Arayis, that the punishment for someone who does not deal honestly when it comes to weights and measures is more severe than the punishment which is dealt out for Arayis, which means adultery or incest and acts of immorality. And the Gemara brings sources on it. And the Gemara asks why. The Gemara says, Shezeh efshe b'tshuva, v'hocha le'e efshe b'tshuva. Because when it comes to the worst avedas in the Torah, it's always possible tshuva. A person can repent. And if he has a tshuva shlema, a total tshuva, he'll be forgiven. When it comes to these halachos, weights and measures, the Gemara says it's the efshe lo shuva. Cannot do tshuva, Because no matter how remorse you feel, it's only a tshuva if you return the money to who you dishonestly took it from. And if it's through weights and measures, you don't know who you took the money from. So you'll never be able to do a complete tshuva. This is the reason the Gemara gives. The Rambam had a different girsa. He had a different text. He says a little differently. At the end of Perek Zayin of Hilchis Gedeva, Kosha onshin shel midas yoysim ha'enshin shel harayis, shezeh beinei levein hamokam, vezeh beinei levein chaveri. One can do tshuva for acts of incest and adultery, promiscuity, because this is an act between man and the and Almighty. This is an act between man and the Almighty. Therefore, the level of punishment is one level. But zeh beinei levein chaveri. But the other is an act between man and his fellow man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes more severely for that. Then the Gemara, in the same place, the Gemara tells us, Omer of Levi, Kosha Gezel Hedjait, Yesha Mi Gezel Gavaya. One who steals from a fellow man is a more severe Aveira, desecration, than one who steals Mi Gavaya from Hashem. How do you steal from Hashem? For example, you steal from the Beis Hamikdash. Someone would take something from the Beis Hamikdash. He would use something in the Beis Hamikdash that he was not allowed to use for personal use. He would steal something which was Kodesh, which was holy. We would say, if we would use our own common minds, that is much more severe than if you take something from your fellow man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. He says, if you steal from me, that's one thing. But if you steal from a fellow man, that's worse. And kosher onshon, and the severity of the punishment is far greater. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma, Da Pei Vov, the Gemara says, Aveira shebeinorim lechaveiroi, ein yema kippurim mechaper, at shiirat es chaveiroi. When you do an Aveira in the Torah that has to do with the Almighty, you do tshuva, you do repentance, and He forgives. When you do an Aveira that has to do with your fellow man, then tshuva is not sufficient. It's not sufficient to feel sorry about it, to weep over it, to accept upon yourself that you will not do it anymore, to ask for forgiveness. It's not sufficient. But Ein Yom Kippurim Maratzeh, and Yom Kippur also does not atone for it. Until Atz Yeratzeh Chaveri, until your friend has forgiven you. Another principle. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamar Aleph Seif Omer Aleph. After a person leaves this world, and Machnisin Odom Ledin, he goes into the next world, and they bring him to the Bezdin Shilmalo, to the court, to the high tribunal of above. What do they ask him? They ask him six things the Gemara brings. Mishor shemach nisin orm ledin. Eimrim lei. Six things. Here the Gemara refers at the end, and the Gemara in Shabbos is referring to this, is that all of these six things have to do with the Shisa Sidri Mishnah, have to do with the six orders of the Mishnah. First they ask, Nosas Nisas v'nosat be'amuna. Did you conduct your business affairs uprightly, honestly? Secondly, Kovati itim Torah. Did you set aside time to study Torah? Thirdly, Osakta b'peru peir evyo. Did you occupy yourself with having children? Fourthly, Tzipisal Yeshua. Did you always hope for the Yeshua, for the Mashiach to come? Fifthly, Pilpalta Bechokhma. Did you study Torah with depth and debate And sixthly, he want to dover miteich dover. And did you analyze the Gemara when you studied? Did you analyze Torah? At any rate, b'shoa shemachnisin onam ledin, six things are asked of him. What's the first one? The first question that's asked of him is nisas b'masata b'amuna. Did you deal honestly? The Gemara brings in Masechet Kedushin and Daf Mem. The Gemara says on Mem Amud Beis, "Ein tchilas dina shel adam el al dibur Torah." That when the Beis Din Shalmalo gives its verdict and extracts punishment, first they deal with his divrei Torah, his learning. Here it's brought, kovat itim leTorah, did you set aside time for Torah? That's the second thing that's asked. There it says, tchilas dinei shel adam. Tosfos explains in Masechet Kedushin, he says, no. The first question is, did you deal honestly in your business? Second question is, did you set aside time for Torah? When they come to extract punishment from him, then Torah plays the foremost role. That's what the Gemara means in Kedushin, Tchilas Dini Shalodim, in El Al Divrei Torah. At any rate, we see that the first two questions, which is asked from a person after he leaves this world and he goes up into the Mechitza Shel Malo, is, how did you conduct your business affairs? That's first. And secondly, kovati itim leTorah, did you take time off every day to study Torah? Rashi explains very interestingly. He says, "Kiven shodem nimshach lederech eretz, kiven shodem tzorach lasek bederech eretz v'nimshach lezeh." A person has to do other things because he's a human being. He has to eat and he has to sleep, and he has a family and he has to work for panos and so forth. And you could be drawn, slept a rein into that, kol hayom, the whole day. So therefore, hatzlocha, success in learning Torah, cannot be in this world unless you're keveya itim leTorah, that you set aside certain times for Torah, that's kodesh kadoshim. That's for Torah, and this is for derech eretz. Because if not, you'll be the whole day in derech eretz and other things. So that's the second question that's asked. Now, we would think when someone comes upstairs, they're going to ask him, like we said, about his Shabbos and about his kashrus, and about his tefillin and his tzitzis, and who knows, there's 100, there's 613 things, and each time you can multiply it by 100 times. There's so many prote mitzvahs that he can be asked for. Yet we see not like that. The first question that's asked is nisas v'nasata be'amuna. We want to know how you conducted your business affairs. Second question, kovati itim leTorah. Did you set aside time for Torah? There was once the story with the Chofetz Chaim, Sichayim Lebrocha. You know, the Chofetz Chaim was the greatest individual in his generation. Actually, for many generations, he lived so long. And he was unique in that his reputation spread throughout the whole world. He was honored and beloved by Litvish Jews, and by Polish Jews, and by German Jews, and Hungarian Jews. There were no limitations when it came to the Chofetz Chaim. One day, some people came to see him. They were from Poland, and they were from great Hasidische dynasties. They came to the Chofetz Chaim, they wanted to see him, and they were brought in. So amongst the Hasidim and amongst the Misnagdim that were sitting around, developed a discussion. Hasidim, Misnagdim, these are good here, these are good there, so forth and so on. And the Misnagdim would say, the Chofetz Chaim is one of us. And the Hasidim were saying, no, but he acts like a chosid, see? And so forth and so on. So the Chofetz Chaim was there listening Finally, he got impatient. He gave a clap on the table and he says, I'll tell you something. He says, look in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. So he looked. We don't see anything that has to do with our discussion. He says, what do you mean? When you come upstairs, they don't ask you if you're a chosid, and they're not going to ask you if you're a misnagid, and it doesn't say they asked you if you're a Pelisher or if you're a Litvisher. They're going to ask you the first two questions. Nisas v'nosatu be'amuna, how did you conduct your business affairs, and kovat itim b'teira, did you set aside time for Torah? If you can answer yes to those two questions, they'll go further. If you can't answer yes to those two questions, you're in trouble. See? And that was all he wanted to hear from the whole Asik. The Gemara Masechet Tainis and Avzayin. The Gemara says, Ein haksomim me'atzorim elo be'avein gezel. The rains which our lives rely on. Many times, heaven forbid, we experience drought. Morris says, drought comes because there's gezel, because there is theft and lack of ethics in the world when it comes to monetary laws between people. And this is meter connected meter. This is one quality against the other. When there's theft, you're taking away someone's panoso. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the people's panoso. And he holds back the reins. And then a final clause, final principle on this. There are more, but of the ones that we can mention this evening. In Parshas Noach, Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the great flood. Why? It was such a devastation that it destroyed the entire world. Something that the world never experienced since then. I mean, Baruch Hashem. Why did he do this? So the Torah tells us for three reasons. It says, "Vatishoche so oritz lifnei alekim." This is in the beginning of Parshas Noach, Pasuk Yud Aleph. "Vatishoche so oritz lifnei alekim," because the world brought itself to ruination. Rashi says from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, "Tishoches ruination means two things: loshen erva and loshen avedizor. It brought itself to promiscuity." And it brought itself to idolatry. And the world was filled with chomos. Chomos is theft. So for three reasons: promiscuity, idolatry, and theft. And Hashem came to Noach. Hashem said to Noach, I have decided that the end of all flesh has come. Because the world is filled with theft. So the Chazal asked, what do you mean because the world is filled with theft? We just said that the world was filled with idolatry and promiscuity and theft. So from here we learn, this is Rashi brings it to Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. That had it been for the other Averis, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have been very happy, but he would not have brought the flood. The reason why he brought the flood, the total destruction, was because kimalo oretz chomos, because of theft. This sealed the fate of that generation. This is what the Gemara tells us. The Maral in the Gorayi writes there, he says two reasons. One reason is, once there's theft, business and commerce and trade breaks down, when there's rampant theft. And once business and commerce and trade breaks down, so relations between people break down. because this is what brings people together, brings business, brings cities together, brings nations together. And once the code of ethics is broken in this, where there's theft, where everyone is only interested in trying to take from the other person, this is a breakdown of world order, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a flood which totally destroyed the world. That's one reason he gives. A second reason he gives is how bad and evil the other Avedas are, but it's still, they are voluntary acts. Avedas or idolatry, or promiscuity. The parties are voluntary. But when it comes to theft, this is against the will of the other party. And therefore, it's more chomor, it's more severe. So what we've done now is that we've mentioned six general principles which give us an idea of the severity, even though it's not common knowledge, unfortunately, amongst many, many Jews, but of the severity of dine momonos, of monetary laws between man and his fellow man, far above the severity of the rest of the chelkei ha-mitzvahs, other mitzvahs in the Torah. We've mentioned six principles on that. Now let's go into some of the protim, give some illustrations when we speak and speak a little more in particulars. One of the dine momonos is mazik. But one has to be careful not to be geira mehezik, not to cause damages, bodily damages or material damages, property damages to the other person. And again, the time now is not to go into what is evident in this. I mean, that we can learn Parshas Mishpotim, and that we have all kind of halachas and mesechtas, mishnayis. But to bring out some of the things we are not always so aware of, I'd like to quote a Gemara in Chagigo, although this Gemara we've quoted many times. The Gemara says, to give you an idea how far Mazi goes, and Daf Hey, Omer Aleph, it states at the end of Keheles, Ki es kol Masi Elekim Yoveh B'mishpar al kol Nelam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the people, he brings to judgment all of their acts, even when it is so concealed that many times the person himself is not even aware of what he has done. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Al kol nela. So it gives an example. A person has some type of insect on his clothing and he squashes it in the presence of another person. It makes the other person upset. He will be judged on that. When he comes, they'll say, well, what's going on? What did I do? I never did anything to him. You caused him to be upset. Now that's what is known as sar. When you're mazik, the din mazik. So the Gemara says, not only do you have to pay for nezik damages, and not only do you have to pay for shevis, loss of unemployment, or ripui, medical treatment, you have to pay also for tsar, that if you caused him pain, or boshes if you caused him shame. And this is what Shlema Melech, King Solomon, was referring to al kol nelam. Mora gives a second example. He says, im tevim ra. No, excuse me. Shmuel Amar, zeharok ifnei chaveiro v'nimas. If someone wants to spit, and he spits in the presence of another person, and the other person is upset, becomes revolted over it, he'll be judged on it. He calls sour to another person. Now, many times, we're not aware. Now, we're not speaking here of a nos dvori. That's a different parsha, you know, that you insult someone. But we're speaking on an act that you do that causes pain to the person. Many times you might bump into someone, you might shove him out of the way, you might be in a public place and you open a window and cause a draft for the other person. Or one person turns on an air conditioner high, which causes sorrow to the other person. These are all things less than we're speaking about. These are hundreds and hundreds of such things. Here the person merely killed an insect in the presence of another person, or he spat in the presence of another person. And on that Shlomo HaMelech said, that's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings as kol ma'aseh lekim yaveh b'mishpat al kol ne'elam. He'll be judged on it. Why? Because that's bechelal nezikim. It's included in the laws of damages. Then the Gemara goes further, but it says im tevim ra. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said whether his intentions were for bad, whether his intentions were for good. Here, his intentions were not necessarily for good. So what does that mean? So it means even if he wanted to do a mitzvah, the Beit Rabbi Yana says that even we have many times people who feel that when it comes to do a mitzvah, then nothing else matters. See, I'm doing a mitzvah, get out of my way. Mora brings, that by the Kahanim, they weren't allowed to run for certain things or for push for certain things. It says Atsnuim, those that were takafrum, used to withdraw rather than to go fight for mitzvahs or go push someone for mitzvahs. Just because you're doing a mitzvah does not give you a license to desecrate the rest of the Torah. So this is what the Gemara brings. Even if you're going to do a mitzvah and you did an aveira while doing it, you'll be judged. For example, you wanted to give tzedakah to a poor person. Someone came in and you saw he needed tzedakah. So publicly you walk up to him and you give him money. You're doing a mitzvah. The Gemara says he'll be judged on it, even though he meant to do good, because he shamed him. He caused a bashus. He should have told him, look, I'd like to see you for a minute in my office or outside. And there he gives him some money. He'll be judged for it. Mora brings another case. The Mora says such a case is moot of the lay afterlay, mehashta the afterlay ukasafte. It would be better if you wouldn't give it to him, because now that you gave it to him in such a way, you shamed him. Mora brings another case. The hanesin stokalisha besesa. A person always has to think, because if a woman needs money, a woman is poor, and she needs money. There the Gemara says you have to be careful not to give her the money too secretly. Because if someone sees you giving money to a woman very secretly, it could bring her to suspicion. Why is he giving her money and he doesn't want anybody to know? And not only you could shame her, but you could damage her reputation, which is much more. This is what the Gemara is speaking about. So here the Gemara brings a few such cases. Another example, there was a Shaila written to Ramesha Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha. And this was from a kollel. It was a kollel of people learning. And some were smokers and some were not smokers. And the smokers wanted to smoke while they were learning. The non-smokers said they're getting sick from the smoke. It might have been a small Beis HaMedrash with a small number of people, or a large Beis HaMedrash with many people, but they said they're getting sick of the smoke. They get headaches and they get sick from it, and now reports are coming out that smoking is not only dangerous for the one who smokes, but even for the one who inhales someone else's smoke, which was exhaled. Actually, this was written before that report. See? It's very uncomfortable and it's very sick. The other one said, you don't like it, so you go out. I have a right to smoke. I have a right to be here. I'm not coming into your house and smoking. I'm smoking in my own house, and I'm smoking in a Beis HaMidrash, which I have a right to be here. And if I can't smoke, it's going to disturb my learning. And if I'm going to have to go out every time I want a cigarette, it's going to be Beitul Torah. And Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is equal to all mitzvahs. Therefore, I have a right to smoke. Evidently, a whole dispute of it, to the point where they brought the shaila to Ramesha. So Ramesha writes and he says, it's no shaila, it's no question. He says, when you smoke, if you want to smoke, he's not going there into the question, is a person allowed to smoke or not because of his own health. That he's not going into because that was not the question. But if you choose to smoke, it does not give you license to damage someone else. And even if you have a right to be where you are, so he says, it's Giri Delay. The Talmidim of the Yeshiva are learning Baba Basra. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that even when you do something on your own property, in your own house, or in your own garden, but damages come from that into the next person's property, Gemara brings a machlekes, but if it's giri delay, if it's directly linked to your act, then even the Rabbi Yossi is made it. Alamazik tzorak laharki. Rabbi Yossi holds its osur. And that's what the Gemara says, Groba ben Izelkin osur. Even if you do not damage outrightly, but if you indirectly cause a damage, you're not allowed to. So he says, Reiviri suri. That's one. Zechodr, he says, that's one thing. But he says, this is not only giri delay. He says, this is mazik mamash. He says, this is not a groma. When you take the smoke and you blow it out, it's keichi shalodom. That's man is doing that. And therefore it's orem mazik, he says. That's axel mazik. And not only is it also is it forbidden, bidin teira, because of pashas mishpoti, but if any, there would be any damages, for example, if the person would get sick and he would need medication, or it could cause some bodily injury to him, or it could cause him loss of time from work, you'd have to pay for it. Tzar mamazik. Or tzar. He says, even if none of this would happen, if he'd only get a headache or something, it's tzar. You're causing him pain, and you'd have to pay. And he says, for example, they were saying that, look, any normal person is not affected by this. He says, firstly, that's not true, which we know it's not true. But secondly, even if it is, he brings from the Gemara of Rabbi Yosef, Anini Daitani. See, Rabbi Yosef is a case where they were doing certain things that affected Rabbi Yosef because he was a very delicate person. And the Gemara paskin that they weren't allowed to do it. And he says further that even that today we do not have the Beis Din Shel Smuchim. We do not have the full courts of authority that actually can come and judge such cases and extract payment. But he says that has nothing to do with it. The person has to pay. We can't extract payment, but he has to pay. And if he doesn't pay for the tzar, for the pain, and for the medication or whatever it might be, Hare Gazlan, he's a Gazlan, he's a thief. And Shemayim, heaven will treat him accordingly. And he brings the other tainas because of his learning Torah, and it'll be Beitul Torah. He says, what does that have to do with it? Therefore, he tira lonu mazikim, therefore you're allowed to go and damage someone. This is what he answered on that question. One more example. We have people that drive, and they feel it's a mitzvah to drive recklessly. It's a mitzvah to drive fast and to drive recklessly, and the laws of the road, that's for others to keep. In our pasha we bring that if heaven forbid a person causes an accident to someone else. not only to himself but to someone else. He's a mazik in the full sense of the word, and he is obligated with all the laws of nezikin that we have in our parsha. Heaven forbid, which we don't like to hear about it, but we hear too much about it, that people are killed on the roads. Our parsha speaks about someone who kills even though he didn't have intention to kill, and it's a shegeg, it was a mistake. Nevertheless, our parsha says he's a retzeach, he's a murderer. And there's dinim of the Gael Adam. There was dinim the Gemara brings where the relatives, was a mitzvah on them to go and avenge the blood. And there was a din of golus, where the person had to go into exile for this. Meanwhile, you have people that drive on the roads and with all carelessness, and it means nothing to them. And they could be classified as frumayim, people who are very frumayim. Let's go to another case of Gezel. The obligations of the employer to the employee and the employee to the employer. Today, with strong unions, I think everybody's aware of the obligations of the employer to the employee. But what everyone is not aware of is vice versa, the employee to the employer. The Mesillas Yeshorim, Mesillas Yeshorim deals a lot in this subject in various prokim. Here in particular, in Perek Yud Aleph, it's Daf Memhei in this print, he brings, he says, if you want to know the obligations that a worker has to his balabais, to his employer, and if he does not fulfill them, he's a thief. He says, we could see from the Chazal that the Chazal were peiter mi birchas ha-meitzi u mi brochas ha-chreinis de birchas ha-mozen. That unless the employer waives the right, a worker, they feed from the obligation of making ha-meitzi and of the last brochas a benching, because he's taking away time which is due to his employer. Unless the employer waives this. And even when it came to Krishma, mitzvah deraisa, they said that when he's working for someone else and it comes time of Krishma, and the owner doesn't want to give him off time, then he should only say the first parsha, just the first paragraph. Abba Hilkio, one of the sages of the Gemara, when he used to work for someone else, he would not give shalom to any person. He would not greet anyone. Because he's working for someone else, he has no right to take off the time to interrupt his work. And afilo lo hoshiv letalmidei chachomim, and even a Talmud Chochem would come and give him shalom, he would only nod, but he wouldn't do anything else. It's a disruption to the work that he owes the balabais. And he held, therefore, that would be gezel, that would be theft. So the Mesillas Yeshorim says, and Yaakov Avinu, this we've quoted, Yaakov said that he worked for Lavan Arami. Lavan, who deceived him 100 times, he said, Hoyisi vayoyim achalani chere v'kerech balaylo, batide shnosi me'inoy. He says, that I watched your flocks in the coldest winter days, in the heat of the day, in the coldness of the night, and I did not allow my eyes slumber. The Gemara brings in Perek HaSecher. The Gemara says, a shemer, someone who has obligation to watch, those obligations do not go that far. So the Gemara says, that's the obligation of a chazan ho'ir, of a guard that you hire to watch the city for security. The Gemara says, but Yaakov was not that. He had accepted about himself. He went lifnei meshuras hadin. He didn't want to forfeit. He didn't want to contravene any money laws whatsoever. Therefore, he kept it as if he was hired to be a guard of a city. And this was with Lavan. Then the Mishilish Yishorim says, Mayanu Eifai. So what are we going to say on these people who are Eiskim Baneseyam Bishas Malocha, who take time off from work? They're supposed to be working and they're getting paid for it. And they take time off from work for their own tainug, for their own joy. Or Yasku Bechevtseyam Ish Levitsoi, or to take care of their own personal obligations on the employer's time. He says, what will we say to them? He says, the Gemara says, Schiras is Mechira Liuma. That when you hire yourself out, that's the same thing as a sale. So you have sold that time to the Balabos. If you use that time for yourself, he says, Areza Gazlan. You're a Gazlan or a Ganaf. Because you're taking time which belongs to him back. And he says, Gezel Zman Nami Gezel He. Not only when you steal something material from a person, is that a Gazlan, but when you steal time from someone, that's also a Gazlan. And therefore, a worker wants to take a few minutes off to make a telephone call to call his or her best friend to see what's doing, or wants to take time off to have a couple cups of coffee, or to do something personal, and this is not the time agreed upon in the conditions that belongs to him or her, then he is stealing time from the Balabos. And that's a Gazlan and a Ganaf. Not only that, he says, but what happens many times, you have an employee who's frum, and they want to do mitzvahs on their time. They feel for a mitzvah, megman, you're allowed. They want to do mitzvahs. See? For example, important mitzvahs. They didn't have a chance, they didn't get up early enough to daven, so they want to daven on the Balabos's time. After all, davening is a mitzvah. Putting on tefillin is a mitzvah. Or someone asks them to raise some money for a poor man. So while they're working, they make a few phone calls to raise some money for a poor man. What can be a greater mitzvah? He says, Hareze mitzvah habo be'aveira. That's a mitzvah that comes through aveira. And our mitzvah habo be'aveira, he says, is sonui la'kodesh baruch hu, is hated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, why is that difference? And the Gemara says, Hare shegozel so chitin v'tochna v'ofem avorech einze mavorech ele minoitz. That if a person steals wheat and he makes bread from it and he makes a brocha on it and he benches it, that's ma'us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects it. And you're not allowed to. That the halacha is that if you stole flour and you made bread, you're not allowed to make hametzi on it. You're not allowed to bench on it. Or lulav agozel. He says, what happens if you steal a lulav? Or you have people, when it comes sukkah's time, they go and they try to take schach from places without asking permission. So Gemara says, it's aveira he. Not only is not a mitzvah, it's an aveira, it becomes sonui, it's hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seine es ha'avlo, seine es ha'gezel. He hates it. So he says, what's the difference between stealing this and stealing time? So he says, therefore, don't do mitzvahs on your employer's time either. Do mitzvahs on your time, not on your employer's time. While we're speaking of this, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gedolim, were very, very careful for this reason, not to impose upon other people, even if they were not working for them. They didn't want to take their time from them. They used to say, Gezel's mom. Menemta vek, near his sight. You take time from someone, that's the same as taking his money. Just like you certainly wouldn't take money from someone else. So they were very, very careful not to impose on someone, not to cause him a loss of time because of me. Certainly, or a tircha, See, cause a person extra work because of me. In the yeshivas, they used to speak of taking someone's time who's learning. You cause someone a disturbance while he's learning. Not only are you stealing time from him, you're stealing Torah from him. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, and this was always repeated in all the Litvish yeshivas. He says, many times a bocher would sit and learn late, and he'd come into his room at night, and he just did a wonderful mitzvah, he learned late, so therefore it gives him license to come in late and turn on the lights and make noise and wake up the other bocher or two that are sleeping there. He says, it would have been better if you wouldn't have learned. Because not only is that Gezel Zman, not only is that stealing time, it's Gezel Shina. He says, you're stealing sleep from the person. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, Gezel Shina is Ein Leit Tashlumin. That's a Gezel which you cannot return. How are you going to return sleep that you took from someone? Okay. And what is sleep? Person had a sufficient amount of sleep, the next day he can go to the work, he can learn, he can do mitzvahs. If he didn't, can't do it. We'll go to another category. Maso maton, business. The Torah states, Leseinu isha samishai. One person should not cheat another person in business. States, we'll quote a few examples on this. It says, She'erish Yisrael layasa avla v'layidabru koza v'layimotsu v'fiyam loshen tarmis. She'erish Yisrael, a true Jew does not lie. And he does not go back on his word. The Torah says, Yihain sholcho hain, the lav sholcho lav. Yes should mean yes, and no should mean no. And this is how a Jew has to do his business. This means if a Jew says he'll do it, then he must do it. If he says he's not going to do it, then he won't do it. These things the Gemara says, that bring me witnesses that this is what I said, or show it to me in writing, this is not for a true Jew. But a Jew, even with his word, he wouldn't go back. This is how a Jew has to conduct his business. And this also is not only relevant for one business with another, but also employer to employee, and employee to employer. And the Gemara brings, Afilu lignaiv daitoi shalakum, hareze osu. Even to deceive with your words a non-Jew, one is not allowed to. That's not the business practices of a Jew. The story, I've repeated it many times, that I once heard, there was a man that I knew in St. Louis. His name was Luri Raskis, all of a sholem. He was an old man then, he was in his 80s, and this goes back 20 years ago. And he was a Litvisher, and he got married in Raden, and he had a shop in Raden, city of the town of the Chofetz Chaim. He had a chemist shop. And he used to tell me, he says, in Raden, the kenisht opnarin afila goy. You couldn't cheat even a non-Jew in the Rabbi. Why? Because the minute the non-Jew would think that he was being taken advantage of, he would say, he said it over in Lithuanian, he would say, we go to the Chofetz Chaim and ask him. And the minute the Jew heard that, then he put his everything in order right away. He says, in the Rabbi, he says, Afila goy, even a non-Jew, he says, you couldn't take advantage of. Not as long as the Chofetz Chaim lived. See? The Gemara tells us, business practices have to be fair business practices. Not only you have to deal fairly with your customers, but you have to deal fairly with your competitors. And you're not allowed to engage in unfair competition. The Gemara says. You're not allowed to try through unfair tactics to take business away from your fellow man. Mora brings a pasuk from Yecheskel Yud Ches, Ves Eishis Re'ehu Leitime. He prided that saying that he never took the wife of a fellow man. So the Gemara says, what's he referring to? He wasn't referring to taking the wife of a fellow man. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Aleph, Shlo Yorad Lo Umonais Chaverei. He never was mikapeach. He never, in an unfair way, took away business from someone else. I remember hearing once Rav Gifter, he was speaking. Actually, this was, he was speaking at my chasana. He once in Shulva was demanded of a Jew. He says, when a Jew does something in his business that causes the loss of business by a competitor, and if it's not totally a fair business practice, he says the Torah doesn't look at that as he took something from his friend. He says that's es eishes re'ehu timei. Torah calls that eishes re'ehu timei, that he stole the other person's wife from him. This is how the Torah looks at it. The Mesillas Yeshorim brings the Gemara, which says that according to the Yehuda, one shopkeeper was not allowed to give out sweets and nuts to the children every time they came with an order, because then when their parents would send them to buy, they would naturally come to him rather than the other shopkeepers. And therefore he considered that as an unfair practice. The Chachomim disagreed, but only on the basis, because the other shopkeeper can do the same thing. But otherwise, it would be considered an unfair practice. To give you an illustration of how far this goes, another example he brings. The Gemara brings many cases where if you have goods and they're a little old, you have produce, and they're old, so you'll take some of the old and mix it with the new. Or you'll shine it up so it should look like new. That's Einoz Momon. That's unfair business practice. That's cheating. So he says, so then how can a person promote his goods? No. He says, what's true in your goods, there you have a right to promote them as you want. But we're speaking when you promote something about your goods, about your wares, that is not true. That's deceit. And by a Jew, that's a very, very serious avera. With all of this that we've said till now, the Mesillas Yeshorim explains the Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samech Hei, Rumam Megezel Umiyutam Ba'arais. The majority of people are caught up with the Aveira of Gezel. They're going to have to answer for it. A minority of people are even caught up with the Aveira of promiscuity. He asked, what does it mean the majority of people are caught up with the Aveira of Gezel? But the majority of Jews are Gazlonim. They are thieves. So he says, this explains it. Because we do not realize just how far these halachas extend. And then he mentions that we're dealing here. Excuse me 1 minute. Just he then mentions in Mesillas Yeshorim that we're dealing here with actually three midos, three qualities. One is the quality of Zihirus, another is Nikios, and another is chassidus. Zehirus is carefulness. A Jew, any person, particularly a Jew, has to develop the quality of carefulness in himself. To learn to be careful when it comes to other people's money, other people's possessions, other people's property, when dealing with other people. That's the quality of Zehirus, of carefulness. But he says that's not sufficient. And it states Hatera maybe the day Zehirus. But that's not sufficient. Why? Because even though he will develop the quality of being careful, Mora tells us, Nafshin Shalod Mechamdoson. When it comes to other people's money and property, there's a tremendous desire in the person for it. And because of that, and that's the nature of man. Man sees something which is nice and someone else has, he wants it. And because of that, the Yetzirah, his nature and the power of evil, even with his carefulness, will find ways to drive him to take that what is not his, or to make profit from someone else's loss. So the first step is Zehirus. He has to constantly cultivate himself carefulness when it comes to dealings with other people. But that's only the first step. That's not sufficient, because the nature of man so much desires that what's in the world, that the Yetzirah, the power of evil, will blind him as to what is yours and what is mine, and he'll be made a heter. And this is what we see all of the time. It will anger him. It will convince him. Thus, Megman, this you're allowed to do. That's why we see consistently amongst those people that do not keep Torah at all. All right. But even amongst people that keep Torah, they'll tell you, this is mutter, this you're allowed to. See, this you're allowed to. You're allowed to do this, and you're allowed to do that. This is all right. When it's not all right. So he says the first step is Zehirus, but cannot end there. The second step, he says, is Nikius. What is Nikius? Nikius is a much higher level. When a person has worked on himself for so long and cultivated himself, where he's Matayer Etzatzmai, where he purifies himself to the point where he no longer desires that what's not his. We find it instinctively, the Gemara says, in the ant. See? Gemara says, by an ant, they come to a piece of wheat, a little piece of grain that they store away, and they sniff at it. And they can tell if it's theirs or someone else's. And if it's someone else's, they run from it. They run from it. They don't want to touch what's not theirs. That's instinctively. Man can cultivate this in himself. Not where he's careful not to take something that belongs to someone else. He doesn't want it. He hates something that does not belong to him. Well, that's a different story now. Now when the Yetzirah tells him, thus make me, this you're allowed to. With this dreidel, it will go like this and like this. This is all right. You say, I don't want it. It's not mine, I don't want it. I'm not interested. That's Nikius. That's a very, very high level. And he says that was the level of Dovra Melech. Dovra Melech prided himself that he came to this level. He says, Hinei al midazu. This he brings in his Bir Hanikius. And that Mem Gimel, he says, midazu haya David someach bi'atzmai. David rejoiced and he said, Erchatz binikoin kapoi ba'sevavos mizbachacho Hashem. He says that I cleanse my hands because my hands are clean, and therefore I come to the altar of the Almighty. He says, I don't have to be afraid to go to the altar of the Almighty. Nikoin kapoi, my hands are clean, because I never wanted anything that didn't belong to me. Not that I wanted it, but I guarded myself from it, because there will be a breakdown eventually. But I cultivated in myself what I never wanted, which didn't belong to me. And therefore, Nikoin Kapoi, my hands are clean. You find people like that. They say, it's not mine. No, I'm sorry. Don't want it. Not interested. And Dovid HaMelech said, he said, this is why Dovid HaMelech was able to come, Lirais es Pnei HaMelech, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like he writes in another place, Mi Yaleh V'Har Hashem, U'mi Yokum Bimkem Kodshi. Sorry, who is the one? Dovid HaMelech was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. He laid the foundations for it. Who can come to Hashem? Niki Chapayim Uvalevov. Not the one who is careful, but the ones whose hands are clean and pure, and whose heart is pure. And he brings also, he says, David was the only one of the kings that when he would go to war, he would go with a bitochin chozok. He would go with to war. David was the great warrior. He would go to war with such a strong faith and trust. And he would ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Erdef Eivai Vasigem Vele Oshuvat Kaleisim. Let me pursue my enemies until I catch them and until I conquer them. And let me not return until they are all destroyed. And he says, no other king ever asked this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehoshaphat didn't ask it. Osho didn't ask it. Chizkiyahu didn't ask it. David would ask. When he would go to war, he would say, let me not return until I have destroyed every one of them. He says, because David was batuach in his midas hanekiyos, that his hands were pure and clean from not taking anything that didn't belong to him. So that's a second level. Then he says there's a third level. There's even a higher level. And that is the level of chassidus. Chassidus is what we would refer to as saintliness. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Lamed says, someone that wants to be a chassid, he wants to be saintly, what should he do? Gemara gives three answers, but one of the answers is, Kayim Yekayim Mili De Nezikin. Let him be saintly when it comes to these laws. And then he'll reach chassidus. The Gemara brings chassidus, according to one opinion, is the highest level that a person can reach. Of all of the levels of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah. See, this is why. Because, he said, what is a chassid? Notice this, which we brought many times. A chassid is mishchassidim acherim. Chassid is loshen chesed. A chassid is someone who wants to give to others. This is the level of chosid, where he's always giving. The yesod of chassidus, the foundation of chassidus, when you deal with other people, that area, is someone who does not want to harm anyone, but always wants to give to someone. He says that's the foundation of chassidus in Bein Odom Dechaveri. How can you be a chosid and at the same time conspiring to take from him? He says it's impossible. A chosid means someone who his greatest fear is he should harm someone and always wants to do good for someone else. This is why you see by the Gdeli Yisrael, the great Talmidei Chachamim, they're always trying to do good for someone else. He says, how can someone be a chosid and he's conspiring to take from him? That's a chosid. So that's the third level. So the first level is Zihirus, where you cultivate to be careful when you come to deal with other people. The second level is Nekiyos. Not only you're careful, but the person who's careful still has the constant battle and drive and fight with himself because he still wants what he sees. And there'll be a breakdown through the Yetzer Hara. And he'll find all kind of technicalities, why this is mutar and this is permissible and so forth and so on. So therefore there's nekiyos. But eventually he can come to the level where he's not interested in what belongs to him. He doesn't want what does not belong to him. And therefore he won't come to all types of heterim, of why he can take this and why he can do this. But the third level is even further. That's Hasidus, where his nature becomes a nature of only wanting to do good to others. Know how? If you have a nature you want to do good to others, you're constantly conniving and conspiring how you can benefit from your friend. Now, one final point. How does a person come to these levels? In particular, in these areas that we're speaking about. So the Basilis Yeshorim brings this, he brings in Perikei Bir Mafsili Azihirus Varchoke Behem Dav Chov Vov Chov Zayin and Chov Ches. He says there's only one way you can come to this, and this is through great labor in Torah. Like the Chazal tell us in Oves Perik Dalet, Every Mamayat Be'esik Vasek Be'Torah. A person constantly has to curb his other activities and constantly allocate more time for activity in the learning of Torah. Like what the Gemara brought before, Kovati Itim LeTorah. Or, like the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Perek Bezovus, Le Am Oretz Chosid. We're speaking here of coming to the level of a Chosid, where you want to give to others and not take. Gemara says that cannot be by an ignorant person. No, sir. The ignorant person cannot have a nature of giving. The ignorant person has a nature of taking. The Maral explains that and elaborates on that all of the time, because the earth takes. The earth only receives. The earth doesn't give. You have to do something in the earth. If you plant, it'll give back. But if you don't plant, it won't. Something always has to be done in the earth. The earth is not a giver on its own. The power to give on his own, that's the power of man, of the soul of man, because that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a man is an Am Haaretz, if he's ignoramus, then that's the earth in him, and he's always receiving and taking from others. As he elevates himself to the Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim, to the soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils, oh, then he can be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a receiver, and he doesn't give because of a reaction. He gives. He initiates. Okay. Therefore, Le'am Oretz Chosid. Impossible for an ignorant person to have a nature of only wanting to give to others. Therefore, labor in Torah. He says another example, the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed. The Gemara says, Barosi Yetzohora, Barosi the Torah Tavlin. Hashem says, I created the Yetzohor. I created the nature of man and the power of evil. So therefore I know it better than anyone else. And I can tell you I created one refuah, one cure for it, and that's the Torah. He says, what would happen if a doctor tells you that, heaven forbid, you have this sickness, but there's one medicine that will cure you? And you decide, no, you won't take it. You'll do other things that will cure you. He says, what will happen? He says, you won't get better, that's all. He says, same thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu's the Reife. He tells us, this is how I have created you, and this is the cure for you. And then finally he brings a very interesting statement from the Chazal, Halavai, the Gemara, in Sichto de Echor Avosi. It states, Al ma ozbu oretz. Why did we lose Eretz Yisrael? Al she ozbu esterosi. Because we forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. We forsook HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Halavai esi ozbu v'seirosi shomoru. Halavai, it would have been far better if they would have forsook me and not my Torah. Then they would have been all right. But if they would have forsook HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not his Torah, Shehamor Shebo Machzi Lemutav, because the Torah would have brought them back to me. Had they forsaken me but still studied Torah, Torah would have brought them back to me. But Asha Ozvu Es HaTorah, but because they forsook the Torah, Al Zeh Ozvu Oretz. That's why I took the land away from them and the Beis Hamikdash. So the power that can cultivate and develop a person to this level of these things that we're speaking about is Torah and only Torah. These are a few insights into Eila HaMishpotim Asher Tosim Lifneihem, to the enormous level of the Mishpotim, of the monetary laws which deal by Adam L'Chaveirai, that a Jew has to be occupied with, be careful with in all of his dealings, which is from the most important facets of the Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.